Good afternoon, everyone, or good after early evening to everyone. So we're delighted to have you here today. My name is Carolyn Rubin, and I'm with the Tufts Clinical and Translational Science Institute. The panelists on this here today, we all went out to dinner last night to talk about our panel. And we were all wondering, will people show up at 4:30 on, you know, at the end of the day in a room that's very far away? And when we came here today, we thought, you know, we should have offered wine. Maybe that would entice people to come. So we're really delighted to have you here today. And what we'd really like to have is a productive conversation around research capacity building with the local communities that you and that we work with. So this panel idea came about. All of us work for different clinical translational science centers. These are funded by the National Institutes of Health to really speed the adoption of translational research to improve public health. And all of these CTSCs have community engagement components. Now, let me first ask, is there anyone else here who's from a CTSC? Okay, great. So I don't know if this was your experience, but for a lot of us, when community engagement first was talked about, a lot of times, more clinical researchers thought about it as recruiting people into clinical trials. But I think for a lot of us who worked in community engagement, we really pushed back against that idea and really thought about the importance of involving community members as co-investigators in grants or as, you know, co-partners in the grants that we do in doing community engaged or community-based CBPR research. So all of our different CTSCs, we've implemented different types of research capacity building programs for our community partners and sometimes in partnerships with investigators. The four CTSCs that will be represented today, what we've realized is we're a peer learning network where we've really, you know, this is stuff that we've really built from the ground up. And, without something to really, you know, guide us. And what we've really been able to do is learn from one each other, from our different pieces and implement what makes sense for our community. We also wanted to, when our panelists met to discuss this, we also decided that we wanted to have a lot of time for discussion because I think that this question of, you know, how do you build research capacity can be a very amorphous question and something really hard to define and to come to terms with. So what we decided to do was that instead of the allotted 20 minutes for presentation, that we would actually take more like 10 to 12 minutes for presentation. And what we'd like to really have is a more generative and fruitful discussion with all of you and hear from your experiences as well. So I asked about how many people were from CTSCs. How many of you in the audience would consider yourself a community partner? Great. And how many are academics? Okay, so we have a good mix. And everyone in between, right? Good. Great. So I'd like to first invite up the representatives from the Northwestern Clinical and Translational Science Center, Mona El Shama and Jen Brown.
Thanks, Carolyn. We're going to tag team a little bit. I'm Jen Brown, and I direct the Alliance for Research in Chicagoland Communities. That's a collaborative based at Northwestern. I'll say more about it in a second. And Mona El Shama is currently with the University of Chicago, but during the period of the projects that we're going to be talking about, she was at the Asian Health Coalition and served on the steering committee for ARC. So just briefly, we're going to talk about the organization that's the sponsoring organization. We're going to talk a little bit about the project. We'll talk about some outcomes, and we'll talk about some next steps that came and be excited to be a part of the conversation. And I also want to acknowledge that we have some of our other partners in the room and former partners. So thanks to Rebecca and Myung and Mandy for joining us today. So ARC, or the Alliance for Research in Chicagoland Communities at Northwestern, is an alliance or a collaboration that is part of the Center for Community Health, and we serve not only our Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute, but also a fairly new Institute for Public Health and Medicine. And the goal of ARC is to develop and support and promote community-engaged research partnerships between Chicagoland dairy communities and folks at Northwestern for research that leads to measurable improvement in community health. And we're going to talk specifically about the capacity-building projects we did with community organizations. We wanted to give you just a sense of some of the other activities that we have, because the folks that participated in those also could take advantage of and did take advantage of these other services. So we do a lot of partnership brokering and partnership connections, both for our community partners and academic partners. We do capacity building that was outside of this, workshops and technical assistance and resource development. And while this focused on specifically community-based organizations, we also do a lot of capacity building for academic partners as well as for partnerships, because we think that partnerships learn well together. And I know at the last session I was at, there was a lot of discussion about if we build the capacity of community partners without building the capacity for academic partners, we just continue this power inequity that happens, and hopefully maybe that's something we can discuss a little bit later. We also have a seed grant program and very participatory governance. So everything that ARC does is guided by a steering committee that's morphed over our almost 6 years. But it's made up currently of 13 community and faith-based organizations from around the Chicagoland area, our Chicago Department of Public Health, Chicago Public Schools, and then 9 community-engaged faculty members from Northwestern. So really, in terms of just a little bit of background about how the project that Mona's going to talk more about came about, was when we formed, Northwestern is not an historically community-engaged institution. There's always been individual faculty that have had that have done community-engaged research work, but more in spite of the institution rather than with any support of it, just being honest. And so it was really when the CTSA came along, the Clinical and Translational Science Award, that Northwestern, like almost every other research university in the country, said, we want one of those grants. And we'll do whatever it takes to get it. And at that point, it was a required component that they have community engagement. So that's why this was the first institutional infrastructure that was at the university to support community engaged research. And we've taken a line to focus more specifically on community-based participatory research. But that was really the first time, so we had a lot to learn about, well, what does institutional infrastructure look like? And I think that's true for a lot of CTSAs, maybe institutions that had an urban research center or prevention research center had done that, but it's new to many, and I think especially medical schools, and that might be a particular setting. So in the same way, the community partners that were involved on the steering committee, when they joined us, when we started having conversations during the application process, took us three times before we got one, with community based organizations, and we got a lot of great information, and we asked them to join an advisory committee, and they summarily said no, we won't, because they were interested in something that had decision-making power, and so we formed a steering committee. But when we formed it, it wasn't like, okay, here's the roles and responsibilities, this is when we'll be meeting. It was like, nope, blank slate. If we're going to do this together, we have to do all of it together. And so there was a lot of, well, what do we do? What does this look like? And one of the things that the community organization said, you know, there's a lot of money through this grant going to the university. There's a small amount of money that's going towards community engagement. The goal is supposed to really be a paradigm shift in how we think about research. So we really need to, as a group of community organizations, think about, you know, how does our paradigm shift, and what is doing research as an organization or building our organizational capacity really mean. So they started a conversation with the local community foundation about, you know, being a local funding partner to ensure that capacity is being built for community partners, you know, in parallel with the type of resources that were going towards academic institutions. So it really came out of that initial struggle. And I'm going to turn it over to Mona to talk more about the program.
Nice microphones at my level. So during this research capacity building project, this project consisted of two phases. During the first, we aimed to build and sustain capacity with 11 diverse community-based organizations. And from the beginning, they all said that they did not want a one-size-fits-all approach to building capacity. As you see here, they developed individualized assessment, needs assessment, which then resulted in individualized action plans, because as you know, every organization is different. And from this, the group realized the importance of continuing the support for a new cohort. So this original cohort of 11 CBOs developed a strategic recruitment process to bring a new cohort of 6 new CBOs in. And during the second phase, where they mentored the new cohort, they became ambassadors, teachers, and mentors of the new cohort. So first, ARC needed to define what CBPR capacity means, what it means for individuals, what it means for communities, faculty, and academic institutions. So though this definition process was important, the group, since it was made of CBOs, focused on organizational capacity. So here are some questions that they needed to define. One was, how does organization value research? So is there interest from staff? Is there buy-in from leadership? Another example is, are there research policies and procedures in place? So when an academic research institution approaches an organization, do they have a memorandum of agreement or rules of engagement, something that kind of makes the process more equal? So our partners are very diverse, representing different geographical areas of the city, different racial ethnic communities, and different public health focuses, from housing to education to direct services to clinics. As you already know, building capacity is complex and requires a multifaceted approach. So some examples of how we build capacity, one was conducting small CBPR projects. One organization partnered with a Northwestern University faculty member on a asthma project, for example. And by doing this, they kind of learned by doing, which was a really important part of this capacity building. Another organization expressed the need for a more streamlined central research committee that worked with all the departments of the organization. So having a committee that was devoted to research was important, as it was created a standing and sustained infrastructure. So of course we face some challenges. Aside from the usual fiscal challenges and staff turnover, we face a particular challenge in having diverse CBOs. It was also an asset, but we had groups that had completely different structures. Some were coalitions, for example, and some were direct service. So their needs were obviously different. So providing them with research capacity looked different, and we had to kind of cater to each. We faced some successes. As ARC played out, there was increasing awareness and buy-in of research at each organization. Leadership began to think strategically about research, resulting in a shift in organizational culture. Another success was the growing confidence of partners. As they developed the skills and knowledge in research, they became community gatekeepers. As they were approached by academic researchers, they felt more empowered to decide whether or not they would like to work with the university, which is a complete paradigm shift. We were able to share resources. Some organizations developed really practical tools and materials that we really wanted to use for other organizations as well, which really led to the second phase, where they kind of did this mentorship for the 6 new CBOs. So all CBOs increased their capacity during the project, and the project resulted in developing a network of engaged communities. People continue to reach out to each other, develop partnerships, and conduct research. If you're interested in more, Please see the recently published article and podcast in Progress in Community Health Partnerships.
Thanks, Mona. So, as Mona said, it really the program that this group of community-based organizations worked on was less of a coming together over courses for on a weekly or monthly or quarterly basis, but really focused on building things that would be useful in each of their contexts. But there was a strong focus on creating a network of peers and mentors where they felt like they could explain their challenges. So even though they did these individualized action plans, they would come back together at regular meetings since they were already in the first phase already on the steering committee, or in the second phase, we would invite them regularly to join the steering committee or after steering committee meetings to kind of be able to say, okay, this is what we tried in our plan, this is what was a didn't work, this is what did work. So we've continued to do that kind of peer networking and support. We actually had three of the organizations that participated in that second phase have now joined the steering committee. So we're very roped in, including Korean American Community Services, who is here today. Also based out of this and some of the other work that we did, we piloted a three-session program this summer with an additional cohort of five community-based organizations that focused more specifically on helping an organization go through that process of self-reflection and assessment about how do they currently use research, whether it's engaged research or not, how do they want to use it, what's the value of it, what's the data that they already have that they could do something with. And we found that a lot of folks, because we have a seed grant program, would come and say, yeah, we want a seed grant. Like, it's a funding source. But when we would try to have a conversation about what their research interests were or something, they hadn't gone through some of these, asking these internal questions that would be helpful down the road. As Mona shared, there's a lot of resources that each of the organizations created during their own work, as again, trying to kind of institutionalize things, not have things just happen once or an education session at the staff meeting or something like that, or have it all sit with one person. So we've been working with an outside group to put all of those resources online. We hoped it was going to be ready to unveil today, but hopefully later this month, that has things like some of the policies and procedures Mona mentioned. So when a researcher calls, what are some standard questions that you could ask or you could look at to develop that for your organization? Or some of our organizations ended up either hiring a position that was specific to research within their organization or a student research assistant position. So we have position descriptions, template MOUs that they used, things of that nature. The evaluation for this built on those elements of capacity for organizational CBO capacity for research, and so we had a tool for community partners that we've just submitted an NIH R21 proposal to refine and test the evaluation tool we developed. There's also a component for academics. We'll also be conducting the next evaluation later this month. But I think the biggest outcome is really what Mona referred to, was just a group that became, by going through a more structured process, became so engaged and interested in community-engaged research. And I'm always amazed at how they go up and beyond any fiscal support, to be involved in this. But I did want to mention that, I shouldn't have ended on this because it's not the highest note, but there were significant resources that went along with the two phases of this project. The first phase that worked with the 11 CBOs that are on the steering committee, they received $18,000 over 18 months. And they could use that for staff time or to conduct a small project or to do an educational pieces, but that was a significant amount of money. And in the second phase, which was also 18 months, they received, about $10,000 to continue to act as mentors and ambassadors and teachers for CBPR to the new cohort, and the cohort that joined received about $3,000, so a much smaller amount, but was still a fiscal commitment that could be used to their leadership to engage them. And now that these two projects are over, some of the community-based organizations have roles with our group and so get some honoraria for that, or they may have received a seed grant. But really, to have that kind of meaningful focus and meaningful participation in research, it requires meaningful compensation. And, you know, just like faculty, if they don't have their time covered, they can't always do that. And so we're trying to, you know, really take that at the organizational level, but I think that's a piece that we can't forget to leave out. Thanks.